This Easter gospel actually puts us back in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. And we are told that Judas has just left that gathering to betray Jesus, to hand him over. And as is typical of the gospel according to St. John, we have a lot of very cryptic language that if we don't read very closely and if we don't read this passage in connection with other passages in the gospel, that language might be lost on us. The meaning might be lost on us. And today, Jesus is speaking a lot about glory. The Son of Man is glorified. God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, he will glorify him at once. And we might ask ourselves, what is all of this glory about? What is this talk about glory? Glory in the Bible is a revelation of God's awesome power. In both the Hebrew Scriptures and in the New Testament, when we read about glory, when we hear about glory, we are hearing about the manifestation, the appearance of the awesomeness, the power of God. So, for instance, in the book of Exodus, when Moses goes up to receive from the Lord the tablets of the law, the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the rest of the people Israel stand very far apart from the mountain. And we're told by the sacred author that the glory of God settled upon the top of Mount Sinai, and that the glory of God appeared as a consuming fire to the people. God's glory is the appearance of his power, the appearance of his strength, God's power as it manifests itself. An important thing to note about this gospel, to understand the glory that's being spoken of, is, as I mentioned, Judas has just left the gathering of the disciples at the Last Supper. And we know that Judas' actions are going to set Jesus on a path, will set off a series of events that will lead to Jesus' death on the cross. It's not for nothing that the evangelist includes that little detail that Judas had just left. Because Judas' act of betraying Jesus, setting off these series of events that leads to Jesus' death, is so important for the revelation of God's glory. Because for St. John, for the evangelist, nowhere, at no time in the history of salvation, is God's glory revealed more fully, more powerfully than in the death of Jesus. Jesus speaks about his own death as his exaltation. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, when I am glorified in the sight of all on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. God's glory has this attractive force. When we see God's power and strength manifested, we are drawn toward it. And when Jesus dies on the cross, he manifests God's glory. We are drawn to the love of God that's poured out for us in the cross of Jesus. It's God's love poured out for us on the cross that is first and foremost that appearance of God's glory. God's glory is shown for us in the death of Jesus on the cross. He is the glorious King who freely, no one forces him to give up his life. He is the glorious King who freely surrenders himself to death for us. But Jesus takes this gospel a little further. He says that he gives us a new commandment. He tells us that as he has loved us, so we should love one another. In other words, in the church, through our life as disciples of Jesus, the revelation of God's glory continues. If Jesus' exaltation on the cross, if his sacrificial gift of his life is the final, the perfect, the complete revelation of God's glory, of God's strength in saving us, when he tells us, love one another as I have loved you, he's really saying, when you Christians, you who follow me, love as I have loved, God's glory continues to appear. God's glory continues to manifest itself. We recall that this gospel, the setting is the upper room, the Last Supper. Just moments before speaking these words, Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples. And he's commanded them to wash one another's feet. So, in a sense, the message of this text that we hear today is that when we love as Jesus loved on the cross, that is, when we humble ourselves to wash one another's feet, the glory of God is made manifest again. That same love with which Jesus poured out his life on the cross, that love, which is one and the same with God's glory, that love manifests itself again. And that love, witnessed by you and me, is what gives all those with whom we live, with whom we work, with whom we study, it gives them the possibility of becoming disciples too. Because as Jesus says at the end of the gospel, this is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus' revelation of God's glory on the cross, the power of that is what has made you and I his disciples. We've been drawn to God's glory as it shows itself to us on the cross. When you and I, as members of the church, as members of the Christian community, when we wash each other's feet, when we love as Jesus loved, then all those around us, in our families, among our friends, folks who have perhaps never believed in Jesus, folks who perhaps have fallen away from the church, they too are attracted again to the glory of God manifesting itself in the cross. Brothers and sisters, in our lives of self-sacrifice, the revelation of God's glory continues. We evangelize, of course, in our words, but more than anything else, we evangelize by the glory of God that manifests itself in our lives of self-sacrifice, of pouring out our lives for those around us. And it's that witness that will draw those around us to Christ. So as we begin this new week celebrating the resurrection, let's ask the Lord to give us that grace. Today in this Eucharist, Jesus pours himself out again for us, just as he poured himself out on the cross. This Eucharist reveals God's glory. As we celebrate the Eucharist, let's ask for the grace to live lives of sacrifice that manifest God's glory.